This verse, start there in verse 66, okay? John chapter 6, verse 66. And we're going to read through chapter 7, okay? So when we get to the end of the chapter, we'll just continue to read there in verse 1. Let's read there. The Bible says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then said Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go unto Judea, that thy disciples may also see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is alway ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up into this feast. I go not up yet into the feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee." Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you this morning for this time again. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and what this time of year means, Father, to us as Christians. Thank you for his birth. Thank you, God, for his coming to dwell among men. Lord, to be our example, but Lord, more importantly, to be our sacrificial lamb, payment for our sins. I pray, Lord God, that today Jesus Christ would be lifted up in each one of our hearts, that you would be glorified here today. Bind the devil, Lord, please, let there be no distractions. I pray for the fullness of your Holy Spirit power and liberty here. Lord, I need you this morning. I'm begging you, God, please help me to say exactly what needs to be said and nothing less, nothing more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is Jesus doing what Jesus did best. Jesus dealing with people. This is Jesus dealing with hearts and men and women and people. And this message this morning is not going to really, I want to try to help you understand this morning that it does matter what we do for Jesus. It matters what we do for our Lord Jesus Christ. It matters how we live in this life. It makes a difference how we live in this life as Christians, how we go about our business, how we treat people, how we talk to people, how we behave. It makes a difference in our Christian lives. And I want to tell you something this morning. As we celebrate the Christmas season, as we look forward to Christmas Day and all of those things, and it's a great spirit of joy. The angels came and they said to those shepherds that night, they said, I have good tidings, he says, of great joy, which shall be to all men, all nations, amen. He said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Well, that's the best message. That's the best words. Those are the best, that's the best news you could ever hear. Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is alive. Yeah. Jesus Christ was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. As we think about that, I want to go a little bit further into this Savior's life, and I want you to see, listen, that he did, of course, always those things that pleased his Father. He was always working to do what his Father's will was, God the Father being, of course, our God, Jehovah, his Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, Father God Almighty. And he was busy in John chapter 6 talking to people about Jesus. He was busy in John chapter 6 telling people about himself and about who he was. He was telling them, now if you're familiar with your Bible, at the beginning of John chapter 6, go there with me, the very beginning of this chapter, And the Bible says in verse 1 of John chapter 6, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Now hold on just a minute there. There was a lot of people following Jesus at this time. They were very interested in what was going on with Jesus, and they had seen the miracles. They had seen Jesus heal many people that were diseased. And so they were following him. They wanted to know more about this Jesus. Because listen to me, Jesus loves people. Jesus didn't mind healing people that were sick. Jesus had the power because he is indeed God in the flesh, manifest in the flesh, and he wanted to help people. He loved helping people. He desired to help people, and people followed him because of that. In verse 5, Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him. And then that's where the beginning of the feeding of the 5,000 begins, right there. Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children that day on that side of that mountain. Right. Now they were following him because they had seen miracles, and then they had got their stomach filled with the food that he had given them miraculously. If you don't know the story, there was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, 2 little pieces, like 2 little fish sticks, if you would. There was one boy's lunch is what it was, one lad's little lunch, enough to feed a boy. And that boy, you know, even if that boy was as hungry as some boys, it still wasn't enough to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. But Jesus broke those bread, broke those loaves, broke that fish, blessed it, amen, and he fed all 5,000 plus their families. But so they got fed that day. They were, and then if you want to turn with me into verse same chapter 6, verse 15. The Bible says, Jesus therefore perceived they would come and take him by force to make him a king. He departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was come, his disciples went down into the ship and entered into a ship. And so now that night, he's going up to pray. The people have gone away, and they had eaten, and he had now sent them away. The disciples went on a ship. The Bible says that the sea arose in verse 18 by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. So now, after he fed 5,000, well, let's go back to the very beginning. He was healing many people who had diseases, incurable diseases. You understand, there wasn't modern medicine back in those days. He was very involved in people's lives, healing their diseases. And then he fed 5,000 that were hungry, and they were by that they were out. There was no Walmart to go to. They did not have ATM cards and things like that. They were hungry. He fed them. But now his disciples are in the ship, and they're in the middle of a storm. And he comes walking to his disciples on the water, and he says, fear not. He says, it is I. And of course, he calmed the sea. So Jesus is helping people everywhere he goes. He's busy bringing peace, bringing joy, bringing comfort, bringing healing, working in people's lives. Listen, that was our Savior. Verse 22, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein to his disciples were entered, that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away. Howbeit there came another boat, other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. Look at that. Now the people, we're talking about the people who were fed the night before. These same people came, and they said, well, they looked at the ships, they found out where Jesus had gone, and they came seeking for Jesus. They found him in verse 25 on the other side of the sea. They said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou? I want you to understand something now. They're still following Jesus. They're still looking for Jesus. They still know this man has there's something different about this man. There's something powerful about this man. There's something great about this man that we have never seen before in any other man. And they were exactly right, by the way. And they were exactly right. I want you to see, though, that they're seeking for Jesus for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Look at verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Look what he says in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth. In other words, he said, you've gone to great lengths to find me, to get across the sea, to walk around the ocean and to find me. He said, you've labored, but you've labored for the meat which perisheth. Labor not for that meat, by the way, because you ate last night and now you're hungry again. He said, you've gone to great lengths to find a free meal.
Yeah.
That's another message, I think. But he said, you've gone to great lengths. You've labored hard. But he said, that meat perisheth. But he says, labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Yeah. Look at that. Which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Yeah. Boy, isn't that great? He says, listen to me. Let's stop right here. He has proven to these people that he loves them.
That's right.
Okay? Right? He has proven to these people that he loves them. He has fed them. He has helped heal their sick. He has shown them, hey, I don't want you to get afraid in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the sea at night. He has proven to these people that he's loved them, that he does love them. And can I say to you, he's proven to you and me that he loves us. There's no doubt about that. There's no way we can even question that. If we have 1 ounce of sanity in our mind, we know that God has been good to us. These people then are about to hear Jesus tell them what really matters. He's not being unkind to them. He's saying, look, you have labored for meat that perishes, but what you need to labor for and what you need to get and understand is there's everlasting life to be found in me, in Jesus. Now, I don't have time to... This is where he begins to preach to them about the bread of life. And the bread of God that giveth, coming down from heaven, giveth life unto the world. He's speaking of himself, Jesus Christ. And then over towards the end of the chapter, let's just jump over there for sake of time, in verse 57. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. He's still talking about everlasting life. He's talking about salvation. These things in verse 59 said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? In verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, listen now, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What Jesus is trying to get these people to see is that, listen, that meat that I fed you last night, it was good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. But now you're hungry again.
Amen.
Now you're hungry again. He said, listen, what I want you to have is that everlasting bread where you'll never hunger again. He's talking about life eternal. Yes. He's talking about salvation.
Yep.
Yeah. Everlasting. He's talking about himself. Instead of eating a piece of meat or a piece of bread, he's talking about having Jesus Christ in you, which is life everlasting.
Amen.
And now he's telling these people, look, you've come to the right place. You've come to the right person. And I am able to do what you need. He says, but you have got to take of this bread and eat of this bread, and he that eateth this bread shall live forever. And boy, they got offended. The Bible says they were offended. There's a hard saying, who can hear this? And Jesus said, does this offend you? Listen, instead of them understanding that he was trying to give them so much more than what they were looking for, they got offended.
Yeah.
They got their feelings hurt. No, what happens is they got tripped up, not understanding, not believing that what he said was true. And all I want you to see this morning is that Jesus was not doing anything wrong. As I said earlier, we have to understand that it is right. It is what God desires. It is what we need to live and breathe, is this precious book, the very words of God. Sometimes, listen, sometimes Jesus is going to give us our feelings. physical needs. Sometimes Jesus is going to meet our physical needs and pay our bills and give us food on our table, and because he loves us. But what he wants, in bottom line, is what he wants to give us is that everlasting bread, that everlasting living bread that gives us everlasting life through his blood and his death on the cross. Understand something today. Jesus is not doing anything wrong, but all of a sudden now, he's telling them the truth that they need salvation, and they're getting upset. As a matter of fact, they're getting tripped up, and he said, wait a minute, in verse 63, listen, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. I'm not talking about the flesh. I'm not talking about bread and fish. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. The words, he says, that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Amen. That's right.
But verse 64, he says, but there are some of you, excuse me, that believe not. Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And then it says, he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Jesus said, listen, you're not coming to me because you're not listening to the words. You're not listening to my message from the Father. The very next verse says, from that time on, many of his disciples, they went away. I want to show you something, that although Jesus was doing everything to prove his love for them, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I want you to look down in verse 1 of chapter 7. After these things, after what? After all of those things that Jesus had done. Now listen now. Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to what? Now, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. He has done so much for these people.
Yeah, come on.
He's fed them. He's healed their sick. He's calmed their fears.
Yeah.
He's preached to them how they can have everlasting life. He's told them how they can be saved and have their sins forgiven, and how that he is the way that he has made heaven wide open and through his own death and burial and resurrection. He's done. Now the Bible says they sought to kill him. I told my wife earlier, I think today or maybe yesterday, I said, something has been on my heart this week, and it just brought me to tears more than once. You know, Jesus' life on this earth, boy, it was very hard at times.
Help us, Lord.
Now, I want you to look in chapter 7. After all that, not only did many of his disciples go away in chapter 6, now they want to kill him. Now look in verse 3 of chapter 7. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence, go into Judea, that thy disciples may also see the works that thou doest. There's no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, see that word if there? If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. The next verse says, neither did his brethren believe. They're mocking him. Now wait a minute. Hold on now. These are his siblings. These are his brothers, brothers by birth, biological brothers.
Right.
He's a grown man now. He's already over 30 years old. These are the brothers that grew up with him at home. These are the brothers that saw him every day of their lives. Mm-hmm. They ate supper with him, ate lunch with him, ate breakfast with him. They played with him. They ran and did things that boys do. They helped their dad work. They were mocking him.
Right.
Now, the Jews are trying to kill him. His brothers are mocking him because they don't believe he is who he says. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And then I want you to notice on down in the same chapter, he says to his brothers in verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, verse 7, but me it hateth. You understand what we just read in these last few verses. From that time, many of his disciples went back and never walked with him ever again. Then many of them were trying to kill him. His family is mocking him. And he says, the world hates me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more.
Now, I'm not trying to be dramatic here, but I am trying to make a point. This is the same Jesus that was just feeding them, mm-hmm. healing their sick, calming their fears, comforting their hearts. What happened? What turned these people like that? And here, if you remember when I was reading to you in chapter 6, listen to me. It was the words.
Yeah, that's right.
It was the Bible. Are you kidding me? No, that's exactly what. See, he was giving them what they wanted. They were seeking him and they were getting what they wanted. And because Jesus wanted them to know, I do love you. I do care about you.
Yeah.
I do care about your children. Well, the Bible says that when he fed those 5,000 men, plus women and children, he cared about their families.
That's right.
He cared about their needs. He knew. Hey, he was the one that said, what are we going to do to feed these 5,000? His disciples were like, well, you know, the 7-Eleven's too far away. I can't get down there. I didn't bring my money with me. I mean, he was the one that said, we need to feed them.
Oh.
And then they came to him the next morning, but don't forget that night when he's calming his disciples. He's up in the mountain praying, calming his disciples' fears. He's proving, doing so much. Listen to me. And as we, as Christians, again, I told you this, the message was simply this thought that, listen, it matters how we live. It makes a difference how we live. But it's not always going to be received like you think it should be received. It's not always going to be received like maybe we're trying to make it get across to them. He was trying to tell them, you can have everlasting life. He was trying to tell them, but you cannot have it outside of me. He was trying to tell them, it's not going to be found in your pleasures and your in whatever you want. It's me. Jesus has said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the way. You must have me, and then you can have everlasting life. And this is when he began to tell them something they did not like to hear. All of a sudden, everybody hates him. I mean, we're not talking about some mean-spirited preacher. We're not talking about some mean neighbor, angry neighbor who's trying to throw rocks at your house and you wonder why people hate him. We're talking about Jesus.
Yeah, right.
We're talking about the one who has proven to them over and over again that he loves them. But it boiled down to the message of salvation.
Yeah.
I mean, it boiled down to the message of... I still get a little bit dumbfounded at that. You would rather have your belly full and go to hell than to receive Jesus Christ as your person and have everlasting... Hey, by the way, after you get saved, you can still eat.
Amen.
Amen. After you get saved, you can still eat. After you get saved, listen to me. The Lord still calms your fears. He still comforts your heart. He still provides for your needs. He still proves his love. But he's saying to me, look, he's saying to those men there and those women and those, all of those people, multitudes that are following him that day, he's saying, listen to me. You're laboring. You're working. I mean, you're traveling. You're high waters and hills and valleys. And you're going to great lengths to come find the meat that perisheth.
Yeah, right. Amen.
He says you need to be saved.
Amen.
See, your eternal soul is what I really came for. Mm-hmm. Is what Jesus is telling them.
Yes,
that's right.
Absolutely.
Again, I go back to the announcement there that the angels, the night that Jesus was born, the angels announced to the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? Savior. which is Christ the Lord. And a Savior is not someone who just feeds you. A Savior is not someone who just helps you feel better. A Savior is not someone who just is just kind to you. A Savior has come to save us from our sins, to redeem us and rescue and deliver us from eternal damnation in hell. But these people, his disciples, the Bible says the Jews sought to kill him. You understand, he was a Jew.
Right.
He was a Jew. He lived and was raised in the Jewish home. The Bible says, though, that he came unto his own, and his own received him not.
Amen.
They wanted to kill him. They're going to, I mean, he's watching these multitudes now walk away. I mean, understand something, dearly beloved, this morning. If they never came back, they're in hell today.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, come on.
He's watching them walk away. He turns to his disciples and he says, "Will you also go away?" I want you to see one gleam of hope, one ray of sunshine in all of this. And this is really what I want to focus on this morning. Because I've watched people walk away.
Yeah.
I've watched people walk away. I've told people about Jesus. I've offered them everlasting life. I've watched them walk away. I've told them, hey, Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only hope for life. And I've watched them walk away. And so have many of you. Now, as far as I know, there's not anybody who seeks to kill me, but I've had some looks. If looks could kill. And so have you.
Yeah.
I have family members that mock me. And so do you.
Yes, sir. Oh, right.
There's people in this world that couldn't care if they ever see me again. We're talking about Jesus, though.
Yeah. Praise God. Amen.
And I'm as I read this, you know, I hesitate. I didn't want to preach this morning because this is the time of Christmas. This is the time of good tidings, of great joy, which shall be to all people. But you know, it's up to you how you receive that.
Amen.
It's up to you how you take that.
That's right. Amen.
And what you do with that.
Yeah. Come on.
And what I want to focus on this morning that's going to make this hopefully end with on a good note. No, I don't want to be depressing this morning, but look again in verse 66 of chapter 6. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Man, that hurts when I even read that. I remember, and I know you do too. I remember folks that used to sit in these chairs and they used to walk with us on soul winning.
Yeah.
They used to walk with us, you know, in and out of the church house for Sunday school. They used to walk with us and down the halls and, you know, teaching Sunday school. They used to walk with us when we were shaking hands. And, you know, they walked with us.
Yeah.
Amen.
I know how that. I know how Jesus felt a little bit. And many of you do too. Should he have done something different? Now you can say, surely I could have done. Absolutely, I could have done. But hey, how about our Savior? Could he have? Would you possibly be bold enough to say, you know, he shouldn't have said that? You're crazy. No offense, but you're crazy if you say that. That's our Savior we're talking about.
Amen, that's right.
That's God Almighty, very, 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 God, the very God of heaven in the flesh, and He says exactly what needed to be said. And many of them went away. Now, granted, I'm not God Almighty, but what we have to realize is that it makes a difference how we live for the Lord. People are going to sometimes take it, sometimes leave it. But look what I want you to see here as we go to the towards the end of the message in verse 67. Chapter 6. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Now, I don't think he's trying to get them to go away. I don't think he's begging them to stay either. I think he just says, hey, look, what are you going to do? Yeah. Now, listen to me now. That's the message right there. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Help us,
Lord. What are you going to do? You're going to follow them that are going away from Jesus. Now, listen, understand, they're going away from everlasting life. They're going away from forgiveness. They're going away from redemption. They're going away from being reconciled unto God. They're going away from joy. They're going away from the good tidings of great joy. They're going away from the Savior, Christ the Lord. They're going away from deliverance. They're going away from heaven and walking straight towards hell. And Jesus, Jesus was not dramatic, but I know that affected him.
Yeah.
I know that affected him.
Yeah.
And he turned to his disciples. He turned to the ones that hadn't gone away. He said, will you also go away? And the bright spot here is Simon Peter. The bright spot in this whole, because Jesus' life, listen, he was not having a good day when we think of a good day, right? But there was a reason, listen to me, there was a reason that Jesus did what he did. There was a reason that Jesus did not back down. There was a reason that Jesus did not let off and try to smooth things over. There was a reason that Jesus just told them the truth like it was. And because Simon Peter mattered.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that didn't sink in. Let me say that to you again. There was a reason that Jesus did everything he did because Simon Peter was there.
Right.
You see, Simon Peter was the one that Jesus used greatly, mightily, many years later. And when Simon Peter began to preach in the book of Acts, thousands and thousands and thousands of people got saved. Yeah. They didn't go away, they got saved.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And you see, God Almighty, listen to me, just like he may be doing in your heart today, like he's done in my heart with this message and just preparing for it, praying about it, is that, listen, Simon Peter mattered to Jesus because Simon Peter was willing to stick it out.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
I mean, stick it out.
Anybody
can stay when you're feeding them. Anybody can stay when everything's great. Anybody can stay when the Bible says good tidings, great joy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And everybody, we always seem to think, well, that's good. I'm going to get what I want. I'm going to have a better life. I'm going to get more of this and more of that. No, no, wait a minute. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ, shed blood and sacrifice for our sins.
Amen.
The great joy comes after I humble myself and I realize His Word is life. His Word is truth. He's my only hope. And then after I humble myself and confess to God I am a guilty sinner, then the good news comes. Then the great joy comes. Salvation comes first. Then eternal life. You see, we cannot keep treating Jesus like some type of magic wand, genie in a bottle. He loves you. I think he's proven that to you. He proved that to these people.
Right.
But they went away. But see, he knew standing in that crowd that day.
Yeah.
There was a young man named Simon. Well, maybe not so young, but Simon Peter, the apostle. The man who said, Lord, those people are crazy. That's not, no, maybe not word for word, but those people are crazy. Jesus is looking at him and saying, you know, there's a lot of people walking away, Simon. And Simon said, I don't care. I'm not going anywhere. The message today is simply that it matters that we live for Jesus. Because Simon Peter matters. We cannot quit loving people. That's not what I'm talking about. We cannot quit helping people. We're going to help people because we're Christians and we want... Listen, it's something that God puts in you when you get saved. You want to help people. You are compassionate. You see people and you understand they need help. But understand something. The bottom line to the gospel and the message of Jesus on Christmas is that we need to give them the message of everlasting life.
That's right.
And then they can understand why we sing like we sing.
Right.
Why we come to church like we do.
Yeah.
Why we faithfully serve the Lord. Why we preach the gospel to our neighbors and hand out gospel tracts.
Yeah.
Because, listen, because that great joy has now part of my heart.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ. He lives. He lives. He lives within my heart.
Yeah.
He was born in a manger, but listen to me, he ain't there no more. He's right here now, amen. Glory to God. He was born in a manger, but he didn't stay there. He was dead. He was dead on a cross, but he didn't stay there. He was buried in a tomb, but he didn't stay there. He rose again 3 days later, and he's staying right here, amen. Glory to God.
Yeah.
He ain't going nowhere. He's staying right here. And y'all forgive my English this morning, but he's not going anywhere. He's staying right there. And listen, Simon Peter was the one that mattered to Jesus that day. Simon Peter, he as soon as Jesus said, will you also go away? Simon Peter said, no, sir, I will not go away. I don't care if everybody goes away from you. And listen to me, Simon Peter was not a perfect man. He was not some kind of different man than everybody else, but God had done something in his heart, and his heart was different. And that day was a big day in Peter's life when he realized, I'm going to stay right here. Why? Because thou hast the words of eternal life.
Amen.
The words,
yeah,
of eternal life.
Amen.
What made Peter so different than the rest of those people? Those words.
Yeah.
Those words in that book. Those words are what's going to keep you from going away.
Yeah, that's right.
See, sometimes they're going to be words of comfort. Sometimes they're going to be words of joy. Sometimes they're going to be words of peace. Sometimes they're going to be words of provision. Sometimes they're going to be words that just say, hey, you know what? You need to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
And see, everybody was right with those words until it said, you know what? You're not saved.
Amen.
You don't have eternal life. In other words, you ain't right. And Peter, those words did not send Peter away. They drew Peter closer and closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because listen to me. Don't you want somebody to tell you the truth?
Amen.
Would you rather have a Savior that lies to you? Would you rather have a pastor that just tells you what you want to hear so you feel better? Would you rather have a church you can go to where everybody just lies to you?
Amen.
But through the words of eternal life, the words of Jesus Christ are spirit and they are life. Eternal life. The reason Peter, the reason Jesus didn't back down that day, the reason he didn't give in to their whims, the reason, listen, it's not that he didn't love them. Understand, I think we've proven that point this morning. The reason was that Simon Peter was standing there and God Almighty knew that Simon Peter's heart needs to be drawn closer to Jesus, so I may have to sacrifice some of those who will not follow me in order to keep the one who's going to follow me.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus, Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? He said, we are sure. He really piles it on here. Now, he wasn't exactly everywhere he needed just yet. He needed to grow some still. But look at verse 69. And I'm done. We believe, that would have been fine. We believe, that would have been fine. But he said, we believe and are sure. You see that? I love that. That's what made the difference in Simon Peter's heart. He was sure.
That's right. That's right.
He was absolutely sure.
Yeah.
Amen. See, some of you aren't sure.
Come on.
I'm not even talking to people that are, some of you that are saved, you're still not sure.
Yeah.
Come on.
But God's working.
Amen.
Amen.
And these words right here, this book, is what's going to get you to the place where you're absolutely, finally, 100% sure.
Glory to God. Amen.
I'm as sure as I'm standing here that Jesus is alive in my heart.
Amen,
he's alive and he's alive in my heart.
Amen.
And I'm sure of that.
Amen.
Jesus, one day, amen, is going to take me to heaven.
Amen.
Whether it be by the rapture or whether it be through a resurrected body, either way, he's taking me to heaven. And when I'm absent from this old body, I'm going to be present with the Lord. And I'm sure of that.
Amen.
I'm sure that he's the only hope I have. I'm sure that he's the only way. I'm sure that he's the only life. I'm sure that he will provide. I'm sure that with God, all things are possible.
That's right.
Listen, I'm sure of that, as sure as I am of my name, my birthday, and my address. I'm sure of that. Absolutely positive. How did I get to that? I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on Jesus. I'm bragging on his word. I'm bragging on his power. I'm bragging. I'm thanking God. Listen, during this time of Christmas season, we understand Jesus came and he was born. And yes, good tidings and peace and joy. But what happens in January, amen? I'm still sure in January, glory to God. He's still the answer.
Amen.
I'm still saved.
Amen.
And sometimes he doesn't always tell me what I want to hear. But glory to God for those times too, because I need that. Because Simon Peter matters to Jesus. Jesus could use Simon Peter because he didn't go away. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It matters how you live. It may not matter to you. Still see people walk away. Sorry, it happens. Mm-hmm. It happened to the best of us. Jesus, but you understand? It happened to the very best of the best. Jesus.
Amen.
They wanted to kill him, Brother Worcester.
I know.
That almost makes me want to call him a dirty name. What a rotten bunch of reprobates.
Really?
Want to kill my Savior. He just fed you, you ungrateful, rotten brat. Get that off my chest. But seriously, they want to kill him now. His brothers don't even, you crazy man. Why don't you go show yourself to the world? I mean, if you really are that Jesus. Jesus said, you know what? The world cannot hate you. Whew. He scolded them pretty well right there. They didn't even get it. He said, but the world hates me. Listen to me. Jesus is still right.
That's right.
It matters how you live.
Amen.
Because there's somebody like Simon Peter that you may not know who it is. And dearly beloved, you may see people walk away. But Jesus is never going to walk away.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you bless your word this morning. Lord, we need your help this morning to be reminded, Father,